Friday, August 15th. Dave, what is your favorite band ever?
I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be, man.
Oh. Well, what'd you get your wife for your anniversary?
Every day, you just work hard. You've got to be the best teammate you can be out here.
Where'd you buy that shirt?
I felt good. I felt really good.
And
what happened to your voice?
I don't know. Maybe all the screaming I do every day on these shows. Dave, what happened to my voice?
I'm working hard out here every day, and I'm going to continue to do that.
Well, thank you, Arian Foster.
Do you really have to read those answers to come up with them?
I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, and that's part of it.
Well played.
All right, welcome to the show, Fantasy Football Today. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Looking at average draft position today, who's going too high, who's going too low. If you have a draft this upcoming weekend, this should help. Now, there will be a lot of games coming up. Obviously, we will talk about the Jaguars-Bears last night, but we got a lot of games Friday, Saturday. So, things will change by Monday the next time we speak to you. However, we still can look at ADP and analyze. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Hold on. Good.
These are answers that Arian Foster has been giving to the media. How does he feel about his role in the offense? I feel good about it. And this is all from Pro Football Talk, so thank you very much, Pro Football Talk. How much it helps the Texans to practice against
now
another
we're gonna
team?
Be accused of stealing a stuff lot. From somebody else.
It helps a lot. Can you drop it? Can we just drop that, please? Sorry, now I'm flustered. Let's get into the show. We'll talk about Dwayne Bowe and ADP and emails. Email of the day from No Name.
Dwayne Bowe is giving you the finger right now.
Is
which
he?
Which finger?
The good one.
I said this on Twitter. I am instituting a mandatory 20 push-up rule.
You spoke
if you draft. I typed it. Actually, I might have spoken it into my iPhone and then hit.
Yeah, that might be one of the most annoying things that you do in a daily
really?
Basis.
Do you like how I say period and question mark and all that? Yeah, it's not going away.
Okay. Can I read the email of the day now?
Yeah. Who's it from?
No name, no city, but he is a policeman.
Officer Robinson from Milwaukee.
Is there any way that an 8-team league can be interesting? Maybe making it a 2-quarterback league or expanding the starting lineup? Any ideas? Unfortunately, I can't find enough real men on a police squad to play fantasy football.
So ask some real women because they'll do it. Yeah, if it's a small league like that, make it 2 quarterbacks. Use more of the player pool to your advantage. It makes it more fun and you use more players and you score more points.
How about a limit on how many free agents you can pick up? How many ad drops you can do? How do you feel about that?
Doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
I like 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 3 receivers, 2 tight ends, a flex, not including quarterbacks, a kicker, a defense, a hot dog, a slice of pizza, a boat ride, and so on.
I felt good. I felt really good. Injuries, news, and notes. We may get a Josh Gordon ruling next week. Julio Jones hoping to play Saturday, expecting to play Saturday. And Dwayne Bowe is out for 1 game for violating the league's substance abuse policy. So yesterday I asked you if you still consider Dwayne Bowe good late-round value, and you said yes. And how do you feel about him now?
He'll be later.
Is he still good value? I mean, is it even better value now? People are going to really want to stay away.
Drop and give me 20. Do I really want to grab a receiver that's got a broken finger that's been giving him a hard time catching passes?
Well, that's what I was talking about
yesterday.
That's
what Andy Reid said.
I know, but that's why I brought it up yesterday. Yeah. I didn't.
We kind of glossed over that if you brought it up yesterday.
Okay.
Either that or else I was zoned out.
Why did you just tell me to drop and give you 20?
Because that's what you have to do if you draft Dwayne Bowe.
Oh.
That's according to Dave. Not the rest of society.
Well, I don't want to do push-ups, so I'm not drafting Dwayne Bowe.
You want to do yoga?
Yeah, sure, but I'm still not drafting Dwayne Bowe.
I'll take him late, still.
Chicago 20, Jacksonville 19. I didn't realize all of last year the Jaguars were wearing those helmets.
Yeah,
them. They changed they're very cool.
They're weird.
I am a big
fan. Shocking that you like them.
Why?
They're polarizing. You either like them or you...
Do you like them?
No.
Do you like them?
Not really.
I'm a fan. I like the Jaguars. I became a Jaguars fan last night.
Their defense
night.
Is good.
And their offense is going to be good.
At some point in your life, haven't you become a fan of every team except for the Eagles, Cowboys, and
no.
Redskins?
No,
I think you have.
I feel something for the Jaguars.
Like in junior high, you were like a Broncos fan.
Are you kidding? Oh, I'm the most diehard of all diehard. I am never a bandwagon fan. I'm not really a Jaguars fan. I couldn't care less about them. I just think the future
is bright
for
them. You just went from a Jaguars fan to a non-Jaguars fan in about 4 years.
The future is bright for the Jaguars.
Once to another Giants fan who became a Jaguars fan.
He pulled his hamstring in the hallway.
Who are you talking about?
Someone we know.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. Jaguars fan, really?
For a minute.
Oh, forget that.
In a drunken stupor.
Oh.
A woman might
have
been
involved. Well, you don't have to worry about that with me. Chad Henne.
Just a stupor.
Blake Bortles. All right, Blake Bortles looked really good, didn't he? 11
he
for 17, 160.
He looked good. You have to take into account it was against backups. It's not like Chad Henne's looked bad.
Yeah.
That's the one thing to take into consideration. He's doing it with the starters against the starting defense. But Bortles is a different-looking quarterback on the field by comparison to Chad Henne. So they're going to give him time with the first-team offense in the third preseason game, and I think that'll be the true litmus test. So I would imagine that if the Jaguars struggle at some point in the season, this plan to keep Blake Bortles on the bench is not going to come to fruition.
Let's say Blake Bortles and Johnny Manziel were both going to play the same amount of games. Who would you rather have?
Manziel.
I think it's got to be Manziel, but Bortles will run a little bit too. Like, I think part of the reason why we like Manziel is because of the rushing numbers that he's going to put up. Bortles will run. He's an athlete on top of being a quarterback.
Bortles is,
I mean,
like,
they're all athletes, but you know what I'm saying.
Bortles is like Andrew Luck and Manziel is like RG3.
All right, so here's the Jaguars' schedule. At what point do they make a switch? Week one at Philadelphia.
When's their bye?
Week 11.
Let's go week 7.
You don't even know who they're playing.
Who cares?
It's home against Cleveland.
They're gonna be 5-2 at that point, or they're gonna be 4-2 at that point.
But they're making a switch then when they're 4-2.
They're doing it all on defense. Now they're gonna put in Bortles and they're gonna finish 12-4. Good year for the Jaguars.
I think you're right. I bet it's week 7.
Okay, good.
Just looking at their schedule.
Now, Toby Gerhart, first practice or first action of the preseason. 6 carries, 19 yards, including a long one. 1 catch on 8 yards on 1 target.
And that's Toby Gerhart in a nutshell right there, folks.
Mm-hmm. Why?
3 yards a carry.
It's going to be 3, 2, 1, negative 1, 2, 15, 2.
Really?
4, 3.
Why do you say
17.
That?
17.
He's not going to break a lot of long runs. He's not going to do
he
a lot
gonna
of...
He is going to break a lot of long runs. Not super.
Of long runs. He's not going to break
He'll have a
lot
bunch of 10 and 15-yard runs. Yes, he
I know you were exaggerating. Obviously, a 3 yards per carry is a bad running back.
Sure.
He's not that. In fact, his yards per carry was very good when he was filling in for Adrian Peterson.
It, different scenario, though.
How is it a different scenario?
He's going to be right around 4.0 yards per carry.
And I got news
then
for you.
I will live with that.
Yeah, no. That's why we're telling you to draft him where we are.
I know, but I'm sorry. Like, made it sound like he's not good. And
It's not going to be a lofty average. We're not talking about Charles or Spiller or those type of guys.
I'm not sure.
It's, I think, if he's at 3.8, you take it.
Do you really think there's another running back that's going to take him off the field more than?
I actually just got this question on the radio show, right before we came on here, about Denard Robinson. And do I take him late if Gerhart struggles or gets hurt? Is Robinson the guy? Because he's looked the best of the bunch of the guys behind him. Mm-hmm. I mean, Todman struggled, Storm Johnson struggled. Robinson's got, I think he's averaging like 5.8 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, he was the fourth guy off the bench. Last night, he was the third guy off the bench in the first preseason.
What was your answer?
No, unless you take Gerhard and it's a deep draft. Then you handcuff him to Robinson because I think...
To Robinson, though? Not Todman?
My anticipation would be if Gerhard gets hurt, it's going to be like the Browns. One guy for, you know, early portion of the game, he struggles. Let's try this guy. Let's try the next guy.
Right.
What do you think of the Jaguars wide receivers?
If Storm Johnson makes the team because seventh round pick, they don't have really anything invested in.
How about the wide receivers we saw last night for the Jags?
Your boy...
Hearns or Lee? They're both my boy.
Lee's your boy.
Well, Hearns, yeah. Hearns a cane. But, Marquise Lee, man, 4 for 27 and a touchdown. Look good.
He did. And I think he's going to be their best receiver.
He's going to be the best receiver in this draft class. Eventually.
Strong statement there, little man.
I just don't see that.
Stay healthy. Be Keenan Allen all over again.
For this year
or
ever?
1,000-yard receiver?
Ever. No, I mean... Keenan Allen fell because of a knee injury, right? It was a knee?
Foot
injury, okay.
I thought it was a knee.
Maybe it was a knee, I'm sorry.
It's leg injury. And
I think you're right, it was a knee.
Knee injury.
It was
and
an MCL.
Became a, became a draft day steal. It's Marquise Lee. Okay, are you drafting Marquise Lee now? What kind of league would you draft him in?
Late.
Standard 12-team league?
I think better in PPR. What you saw last night is what you're going to get a lot of short yardage.
I'm not quite there.
The two guys that he's dealing with, Cecil Shorts is arguably the most injury-prone wide receiver we have outside of Percy Harvin.
Right.
And Allen Robinson's got a hamstring injury, can't get on the field.
How about anyone else? Is there anything to say here about this game?
I think we'll have some our typical Mercedes Lewis weeks.
Right. I'm not going to get excited over Mercedes Lewis just because of this.
How are you feeling about the Bears' defense right now?
I'm fine with it. I honestly, it doesn't bother me one bit. In the preseason, defenses don't game plan. It's all about getting your body warmed up and ready to go. Offenses do basic stuff. I mean, I saw Jared Allen and a number of other Bears defenders in the backfield a lot last night. The offensive line is going to be a problem for Gerhardt. Like, if there's an issue for me with Toby Gerhardt, it's not him. It's not that he's slow. It's that the offensive line did him almost no favors. One play, they did him a favor. And it was when they put in a new guard who pulled and opened up a big hole for Gerhardt.
All right, we got some underdrafted and overdrafted players. And Dave gave me a list. Jamie's got a list. We'll start with the underdrafted players. So these are players that we think are going too late in drafts right now based on current average draft position, a.k.a. ADP. Just programming note here, when we come back on Monday, we'll review all of the preseason action. If you want to hear us talk about Friday's stuff and a little bit of Saturday's stuff, you can listen to CBS Sports Radio Saturday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Of course, you should watch our Fantasy Football Today video shows Tuesdays and Wednesdays for now, 5 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday during the regular season. And Fantasy Party, cbssports.com/fantasyparty if you're in the Foxborough area. Next week, next Saturday, the 23rd, starting at 10 a.m., come to the CBS scene right by the stadium, and we'll see you there.
And if that sounded good and you live in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Harrisburg, somewhere near Pittsburgh, this Sunday at the Dave & Buster's on the waterfront in Pittsburgh, come see me, hang out, have a good time, dominate your fantasy drafts.
How exciting is it that people get to call and talk to us in person?
Yeah. I think it's going to be cool.
No, it is cool.
I think it's going to be very cool.
I mean, they do it on the video show, too.
What do you think... What do you think the most wacky question?
Oh, you mean in person at the draft party?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, it's that too, but also on the radio.
What do you think the most wacky question we're going to get on Saturday is?
Adam, do you really like cats?
Yes, I do. I don't think we're going to get any wacky questions.
None?
What do you think? You guys did it last year.
Yeah, but it's you, though.
Do you mean wacky in terms of like a awkward fantasy question or
hi,
weird?
This is Mike from Michigan. I want to ask Adam about his favorite cat.
I hope we get a little bit of that through. The producer will put it through as long as there's a real question attached. Sure people listening, you guys out there,
we're going to have to tell the producer about all the inside jokes so he doesn't hang up on callers.
Hi, this is Marone from Miami. Does Adam really have that much chest hair?
Adam, will you rub your chest hair against the mic?
Oh, God.
At which point, I expect you to oblige.
This is a very unfortunate conversation. Joe Bernard.
All you need is a little nair.
Is going 16th. Le'Veon Bell is going 18th, and that's not true. All I need is a lot of nair. Alf is going 21st. Three running backs going mid to late second round. Dave, you've got all of them as underdrafted, as in they are going too late. Geo 16th, Bell 18th, Alf 21st.
Yeah, well, first of all, in the PPR, Geo's a first-round pick. He's a borderline first-round pick in a standard league. He's going to get enough work. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's going to be a difference maker for your fantasy team. I'm a little worried about Jeremy Hill stealing a few touchdowns. That's it. I think he's just such a good option for Cincinnati, and the line is still good enough, and they're going to lean on him, and the offensive coordinator has a track record of leaning on running backs, that Geo should be in for a good year. If you can get him late round one in your standard draft or even in your PPR, that's great. And if it's a PPR draft, I think he's worth a pick, I don't know, round nine.
You like him better than Le'Veon Bell?
I do.
Why?
Because I'm worried about Le'Veon Bell getting the same amount of quality touches and maintaining anywhere close to the same type of average that Geo is going to have. I don't think Le'Veon Bell averages.
Well, he didn't really have a good average last year.
No, he didn't.
He still was really good.
Well, he caught a ton of passes, and Geo is going to catch a ton of passes. And I think Le'Veon's going to work at the goal line, despite LeGarrette Blount being there. But I think Blount is there to take the ball a few times. Le'Veon Bell's had over 700 touches or something like that over his last 2 years, college and pro. And I can't help but wonder if the Steelers are worried about him a little bit. And that was their motivation to bring in LeGarrette Blount. And I'm going to find out about that when I go to the Bills-Steelers game on Saturday.
There was a report yesterday that the Steelers, I think it was Mike Tomlin, said that they're going to use Blount more than the initial thought this summer, which was 6 to 8 carries. I think the speculation from what Tomlin said was 10 to 12, which puts them in the same category because the reports out of Cincinnati are Jeremy Hill 10 to 15 carries a game. So
this is all in a perfect world, right?
Of course.
Right.
This is just one of those situations where you have to buy into who you think the player is in terms of Bell and Bernard and who you think the backup guy is and what they're going to do. So I think what we saw in the small enough sample size for both guys, because Bernard didn't get the chance to be really featured as much because of Green Ellis, and Bell had the games that he missed because of the foot injury and also didn't have his best offensive lineman. So I think both guys, because of the report yesterday, I actually moved Bell behind Bernard because I think they're also, in the last couple of days, the sentiment out of Cincinnati is that Bernard's not going to come off the field for the goal line situations as maybe was speculated.
Right.
So I think Bernard's arrow pointed up a little bit and Bell's just a little bit down. So I made the switch and put Bernard ahead of Bell.
But what's Le'Veon's average draft position?
18.
I still think he's better than that. By a considerable amount. Like, I don't have a problem if you take Gio and Bell back-to-back at the swing picks in any format.
Okay.
I really don't. I think I'm not trying to be down on Le'Veon Bell here. I think he's going to be a good running back, and I think he's being underdrafted at 18th overall. I would trade my first-round pick if I knew I could. If I traded my first-round pick for a second-round pick and a third-round pick, so a 2 and a 3 for a 1, something like that, if I knew I could get Gio and Le'Veon as my two running backs in round 2 and get an extra third-round pick, I would do that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because that's what their ADP is.
Do you think Bernard gets more than 226 touches?
Yes.
Okay, that's what he had last year. 170 carries, 56 catches.
Way more.
Okay. Well,
Marvin Lewis said so.
Alfred Morris, you also think is going too low. 15th best running back last year. With 276 carries, 4.6 yards per carry, 9 catches, he did lose 4 fumbles. I don't know if that concerns you at all.
It's 8 fantasy points.
Does he have a fumbling problem? I've never really heard him mentioned in that discussion.
It would be interesting to see, though, with the new regime, because he's a Shanahan guy. And obviously he was so good for Shanahan 2 years ago, struggled a little bit last year in that regard. Will Jay Gruden tolerate it? They don't really have a lot of other options. That's the thing. You know, and it's funny because the last 2 days there have been another differing reports from the Washington media. One that said Jay Gruden looks at Morris as just steady Eddie. Comes out, does his work, goes about his business.
Right, Gruden
said that. Very professional. Then it was the thought in the locker room is that he's not going to be on passing downs as much as maybe the speculation was expected. And so to see him in the 20 catch range may not be realistic, and that they're going to go with a combination of Roy Helu and Chris Thompson on passing downs, which Helu has really solidified himself in that regard because he's very good in pass protection. So I think if you're in the Alfred Morris boat and you're expecting 4.6 yards per carry, I'll go low, 250 carries. 250 carries, 4.6 yards per carry, work at the goal line, he's still worth taking in round 2. If you are, he's not going to average 4.6 yards per carry. They're going to throw the ball all over the place because of the addition of DeSean Jackson, because of Jordan Reed being healthy, Andre Roberts, all those things, new head coach. Then you're going to shy away from Alfred Morris, and that's why he falls in PPR leagues. I think it's I view it. I know you're more optimistic on Morris than I am, Dave. I view Morris at no worse than what he was a year ago.
Which wasn't that great.
Which was 1,300 total yards and 7 touchdowns.
But he was the number 15 running back.
Right.
Now, right.
But that's
270 carries, 1,300 right. total yards, 7 touchdowns. Is he going to do better than that this year?
The way that I view him is incrementally better with the totals, the yardage, but the touchdowns getting closer to 10.
Well, that would be big.
So that's why it pushes him up for me.
I feel the exact same way.
So I don't think the passing goes up dramatically. You know, it's just not realistic to expect that. You'd be giddy if it happens. And then he's a steal. I just think you have to view him probably in the 1,400 to 1,500 total yard range, which is not hard to do, and, you know, somewhere in the 9 to 11 touchdown range.
Well, if he gets 3 more touchdowns, then you're talking about a much more.
And I think the other thing to talk about is, yes, last year was considered a down year for him because he was so good his rookie year. But the thing you have to sort of realize is who are you comparing him to? you know, would you rather have him or Foster at this point? Well, I think we'd all would say Morris, maybe outside of PPR league, but Morris. Do you trust him more or less than the two guys we just finished talking about, Bernard and Bell? Because we've seen Morris now for 2 years. Small sample size for the other two guys. And then it's Doug Martin.
What's the answer?
I would trust those other two guys more than Alfred Morris because I think there's a higher ceiling because of what they do as receivers. Mm-hmm. The other thing then is Doug Martin or Alfred Morris. Well, I think Alfred Morris is safer. Zach Stacy or Alfred Morris, I think Alfred Morris is safer. And then it gets to that next group of guys, which I think Morris should be ahead of, the Ellingtons, the Gerharts, the Sankeys, the Spillers, Matthews, all those guys. I just think you know what you're getting with Alfred Morris. If their defense falls apart, he's going to have a bad year because then Jay Gruden is just going to go back to what Jay Gruden wants to do and throw and throw some more. And you're going to see a lot more of Roy Helu. It's not going to mean that Morris is not going to get his numbers. It's just going to be a little difficult to say that you drafted him closer to the first round than where his average draft position is.
All right, more undervalued players. Alshon Jeffrey, we'll go to Alshon in a second. But first, Zach Stacy, 27th overall. Alshon Jeffrey, 31st overall. Third round picks here, in a 12-team league. Zach Stacy, 27, Alshon Jeffrey, 31.
I don't get it. I don't understand why Zach Stacy's falling to the third round. Do you have any idea, Jamie?
Well, the three quarterbacks get pushed up into the first, 15 picks.
Okay.
So that's higher than what we would suggest. And then it's everybody taking those seven receivers, because I believe Jordy Nelson's at 25, so that's ahead of him.
Well, Alfred Morris, Doug Martin are the two running backs that go just before Zach Stacy.
Yeah, I think you're going to eventually get to a point where Martin, now, depending on this Charles Sims injury, because those two guys are going to jockey for that spot, Martin and Stacy. That's kind of where I think he is in both of our rankings to a certain degree, a couple spots away. The thing about Zach Stacy is people get ingrained for months on an idea. They get fixated on an idea. So it's Trey Mason, Trey Mason, Trey Mason, Trey Mason.
That's all they hear. Right. That's why they're fixed on it.
Until people start to realize, maybe we're not doing it enough. I'm sure our audience is well aware of this at this point, but he's running fourth string. And he's not really going to be that much of an impact. Maybe it's Benny Cunningham.
Okay.
And we're overlooking Cunningham.
Zach Stacy, is he a guy that should be drafted ahead of a lot of those wide receivers, that are going in the second round?
That's the problem, because if you get back toward the end of round one, the demand for a running back dies down because those owners already took one running back and they don't want to miss out on getting one of those top seven receivers. I don't know where I've got them ranked up against them. I'd be happy to look it up for everyone and tell them.
Yes.
But here's what I'm going to say about Zach Stacy. He is a good, young, strong, downhill running back behind a good offensive line in an offense that I think will run the ball a lot with a good quarterback under center. With a team that's got a very strong front seven on defense. So he's going to have a lot of opportunities in games to grind down the clock at the end of the game, potentially score the last touchdown of the game. This includes against some of the teams in his own division, which San Francisco's defense already has been weakened a little bit. Seattle's defense, they lost some guys during the offseason. We'll see how they rebound. Arizona's defense, if you don't think their linebackers are going to step up, then you think that Zach Stacy could do well against them. The biggest strike against Zach Stacy is his division.
I think the other thing is you look at Lacy and Bernard and Bell, and they were all high draft picks last year by their NFL teams. Stacy was a fifth-round pick, kind of came out of nowhere. So maybe people just didn't see him enough.
Sure, and maybe they think he's a one-year wonder because of that.
Mason was drafted higher in the NFL draft than Stacy was.
That's, also true. But then again, Alfred Morris was undrafted or seventh-round pick?
Sixth-round pick.
Sixth-round pick. Yeah. So, that doesn't necessarily matter.
I think they kind of mirror each other, Stacy and Morris, because not really a I don't want to say afterthought, but to a certain degree an afterthought by fantasy owners on draft day, because Morris was either a late-round pick, depending on when you drafted, and Stacy was kind of either a late-round pick or not drafted
at
all.
They both had to win a competition. And
right.
Eventually, Morris won it immediately.
And the reason I bring it up is because I think you're going to get a little bit of a regression from Stacy, but not enough that's going to hurt you. And the thing that Stacy does differently than Alfred Morris is he's a better receiver.
Yeah.
Let's move on here. Alshon Jeffrey, you think he's going a little bit too late, Dave, 31st?
Yeah, where is that? Late round three? Mid round three. Maybe that's not too late.
Reggie Bush
might be about as far as you can find him. I've seen Alshon go higher than that, though.
Reggie Bush, 38th. So now we're in round four, Reggie Bush.
I think it's too soon. I'm starting to get seriously nervous about Reggie Bush.
Oh, so now we're at the overdrafted. Okay.
Yeah.
So Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush there.
Yeah, yeah. Did I say he was underdrafted? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's probably just an email error there. I'll put him in the overdrafted section. How do you feel about?
I'll take the blame.
How do you feel about Michael Floyd in round 6 and Golden Tate in round 7? Are they underdrafted or overdrafted? Dave?
I think they're underdrafted.
That's what
they should be going higher.
Yes. Okay, good.
This is one game.
What? Michael Floyd,
round 6. How did I do this? Did I put them in overdrafted?
No, you put them in underdrafted.
So I put those guys in the
right
place.
Yeah.
And I feel better about
just
myself.
The only one you didn't was Reggie Bush.
I like when you looked at me like I did this.
Did you do my notes for the podcast today?
Floyd in round 6, Tate in round 7.
Dave, you have to go to the bathroom.
I got to go, guys. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Can I have the bell?
Does anybody want to talk about this stuff?
Not really. I mean, these are good receivers that are just going too late in drafts.
It's funny.
If they fall into your lap, I think you should take them.
Golden Tate, I did the ADP review. I'm sure you didn't look at it yet, Adam, when I sent you.
No, I didn't.
But
you know, I have other stuff to do.
It'll be on the site. I'm sorry that I sent you the story that's related to the podcast we're talking about.
Right. Sorry that I rushed to do the podcast for your sake, but
right.
Go ahead.
So Golden Tate, one catch in the preseason and is already has a nice little green arrow by him moving up 7 spots.
Gotta look that green arrow. So he's going after Harvin, Sanders, and Edelman.
And DeSean Jackson.
And does that mean you're taking him ahead of DeSean Jackson?
I would definitely take him ahead of DeSean Jackson. The only guy on that list which I wouldn't take, which I know we would disagree on, is Harvin. I would take Harvin over Tate.
Dave, would you go with Tate or DeSean Jackson?
I think I have Jackson ranked one spot higher.
PPR, is it definitely Tate?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Jamie's list of players that are being taken too late.
Wait, let me make sure this is too late.
It was one guy.
Too late would be too low?
Yeah, like getting really good value for them. They should be
right,
going earlier.
Right. Well, we saw one last night. Talk about a good preseason so far. Jay Cutler. He looks great.
Yeah.
Completion
yeah.
percentage
he
is great.
He really
right
looks
now.
In his line.
Awesome.
Now, line they're not good. Throwing the ball down the field, but that's just preseason.
Well, Jeffrey
they're
actually,
moving the chains.
Jeffrey actually got banged up a little bit, so he didn't on the touchdown drive. He caught a pass, and I don't know who landed on him, but it was late hit.
It was Winston Guy, who's a sleeper in IDP leagues, by the way.
So he didn't come back on the field after that. Not they were done after that drive anyway, so regardless. But I can't say enough about, to me, Jay Cutler is going to be one of the best value picks on draft day. He's going 88th overall right now. And give me, let somebody else in, and Dave is going to be the guy, but let somebody else take Nick Foles where he's going. And I would gladly wait much longer to get Cutler. Same thing with Cameron, who's going, that's Cameron, Cam Newton, who's going ahead of Cutler as well at the quarterback spot.
I got a debate for you. RG3 versus Jay Cutler. Both are injury risks. Both have immense rewards. Does RG3 win that because he runs with the football?
Yes.
And the rushing stats will help? Cutler does a little bit too.
Not the same.
Just not the same. But I think Cutler can throw more touchdowns than RG3 this year.
Potentially.
I've been going back and forth with that one.
I think they're
Cutler's
both,
moved into my top 12.
They're both. Who'd you bump out? Rivers?
Yeah. Which, believe me, it took everything in my heart to do.
I see Jay Cutler, and I do these 12 prediction pieces, and so Cutler has already been written. And it's just ridiculous. Like, he's never really had – he's had one really big season. It was in Denver in 2009. I think he's going to have the best year of his career.
I don't see
why
not.
He should have – well, I'll tell you why not. It's because if he gets banged up,
okay,
that takes him off the field.
Okay.
But he's got a pretty good track record
so
of getting banged
up. So
you
draft a backup.
Yeah, that's the move.
Well, he's – I don't know if he has a good track record. Maybe I view it a little bit more optimistically because he missed the 5 games last year with the groin and the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, he missed 1 game. The year before that, he missed 6. And that's really it. Other than that, he's never been hurt. Mm. So if you're looking at it at the 3-year sample size, then yes, he has a poor track record. And obviously those 3 years have been in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I look at the contract that they gave him, and they said, okay, we're going to take our chances with Jordan Palmer and Jimmy Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen. It'll be Palmer.
Yeah.
Who else you got?
Bernard Pierce. 2-game starter. You know that. And the reports are he's been as good, if not better, than Ray Rice. So we can't sit here and say that the Browns are going to be in a tandem, that Jeremy Hill's going to get his carries, that LeGarrette Blount's going to get his carries, and say that we're nervous to a certain degree about the other guys. I don't know if Ray Rice is going to get a starting job back if Bernard Pierce goes out and plays awesome.
Is this right? 115th in ADP?
Right.
Yeah, that's too late.
So I will take that all day because this is the – like your PPR team,
mm-hmm.
if you had Bernard Pierce, that's such a slam dunk because you drafted Rice.
Right.
And I know you said you thought Pierce went too soon, which is fine. You didn't want to invest the – and you took other guys to cover yourself for Rice. But I'll go back to what I said yesterday. If you're in any league, standard PPR, and you go receiver, tight end receiver, quarterback receiver, anything non-running back, take Bernard Pierce.
Why don't you like Bernard Pierce? You say you're not really a Bernard Pierce guy.
Yeah, I've never really seen it from him. He had a couple of good games 2 years ago.
The Super Bowl run.
He was involved
really
in what
had
they
an
did.
Opportunity to see
he had some opportunities last year. When Ray Rice was stinking last year, that team could have given him every single chance.
He wasn't healthy. Though.
Their line every was single terrible.
Chance. Yeah, I know.
I just, he wasn't my 100%. Fear is that their line isn't better.
It's better. It's not incrementally better.
No, it is incrementally better. It's not significantly better.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse my.
I'm sorry. Here's what I don't like as well. The two games that he's going to start against Cincinnati and against Pittsburgh. And I think Cincinnati's defense will be about as good as it was last year.
If Atkins is healthy.
If Atkins plays.
It was good even without him last year.
And see, here's where I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth on the Steelers. I think their run defense is going to be significantly better this year. But it's a Thursday night game. And Pierce is at home, and what do we know about running backs on Thursday nights? They tend to play
well.
Yeah,
but see, I don't think Pierce has to come out and go 18 for a $120 and a touchdown to save
right,
the job.
Right, but if he's averaging 3.5 yards
yeah,
per carry,
but it depends on the type
go
of
right
carries
back to
there.
Rice.
Rice is not coming off suspension and saying, okay, I'm here, put me in when I'm ready. He's coming back in to take the starting job. But I think the thought should be, at least the way I'm viewing it, is if Pierce runs well, does what he's supposed to, pass protection, catches a couple passes, gets the tough yard. Doesn't have to be a pretty average because these are two tough opponents. It's also a short week for him, you know, so he's going to probably be beat up as well. They're going to go back to what the thought was last year before Pierce had the shoulder injury because he was hurt too. They want to share the carries with him. Ray Rice had 3 straight years of 400-plus carries. That's tough. 400-plus touches. That's tough to come back from. So he's got to get his legs back under him for missing 2 games and all those practices. And I think Bernard Pierce is going to make this a very interesting situation. I don't think Pierce is better. If I thought that way, I'd rank him differently. But I think for the value, unreal.
Anyone else?
Andre Williams. I mean, that's kind of obvious. We'll see how far
he
goes.
Where's he going?
125th.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
God.
Probably not going to be the case right now.
Right. A week from now, that'll be blown out of the water. A lot of these guys that are going around that neighborhood are going to go out of the water in the 120 range.
One of my favorite receivers, Terrence Williams, 93rd. You get into that conversation of Edelman and DeSean Jackson and Macklin and those guys, and I would take him ahead of all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's going way after them.
Yep. Heath Miller. You look at the tight end's position. Excuse me. I think it's interesting to see where those top 11 guys go, and then who's 12th, and I'm surprised he's so low.
Yeah, he's off people's radar.
Yep.
Yeah. I was kind of rooting sort of against Toby Gerhardt, just in an ADP sense, because I see myself, if I draft late, going receiver, Gerhardt's a guy that I feel like I'd end up with a lot. I don't want him to have a huge preseason.
Well, last night helped you.
Yeah. Last night helped you.
Because I think
Trust
I saw
me,
enough.
They're not changing direction on that.
Well, the two things that have helped you and should help people who are in the same camp, the hip and the lack of a big game. Especially on if they were playing on a night like tonight or tomorrow night where there's a bunch of games and he has a big performance, he gets lost. But a spotlight game like that,
I didn't want
when
him to
everybody
go crazy.
Could see
like,
it.
I'm telling you right now, Cutler is going to start to creep up because he looked good. Denard Robinson is going to come into people's minds. Certainly, Marquise Lee is going to come into people's minds. Now, these aren't big time guys that are in the middle of the pack that are going to excel, but you see it. I mean, look what happened at the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Andre Williams now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And well, if Manziel comes out Monday night and does something, you want to talk about a guy that's going to skyrocket.
Not even going to start. But so, overdrafted players. Dave has all these quarterbacks going rounds 1 through 5. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck.
You just have to put it in context, though. It's not going to happen.
What do you mean?
It's not going to happen like that, too. It's in every league. That's just factoring in 2 quarterback leagues. It's factoring in our auto drafts. You know,
it's going to happen in a lot of leagues. How many questions
do we get? Not that many.
I get a ton.
The top three, yes, but everybody else, no.
I have the number one pick in my draft tonight. It's Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah.
You know how many times I get that on Twitter or in my inbox?
100% agree with you.
Yeah. So
But yeah, the top three.
It's okay if it happens.
The top three. It's not going to go with the other guys.
Just preparing everybody listening. If it happens in your draft and you don't get Peyton Manning, or Peyton Manning goes in round one and you don't get him there, it's okay. You're going to be fine. I promise.
Reggie Bush, 38th, Dave. Definitely going way too high.
Too low.
I agree.
What?
Too low.
You're kidding. Yeah. Actually, it doesn't seem that bad, though.
PPR, I think, is great. Standard is too high.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only reason why... So this is the second pick of the fourth round. The only reason why I would say it's not too high is because if you need a running back there, if it's like your second running back or...
You take him in.
You have to. Whoever you get at round five...
Yeah, won't be back. Joik won't be there that late in round
53
five.
Still?
Right.
That's not there.
I'm not saying that, but...
Yeah, let me see. Joik Bell is 59th, 58th.
That's close.
So that would be the end of round five.
Yeah.
That's wishful thinking, maybe. That's a perfect situation. Because if you don't get him, you're talking Ben Tate. Stephen Ridley. All right, look, things could fall your way, I suppose. I think it's a little risky, though, so I could see people taking Reggie Bush there.
Yeah, but Bell's going to move up significantly if he continues.
Trent Richardson, on the other hand, might be there at the end of round five based on his current ADP.
What's that at right now?
About 56, 57.
Okay. It's another guy who's ADP.
Would you
ADP...
rather take Reggie Bush 38 or two rounds later Trent Richardson?
Oh, God.
I know Jamie would say Richardson.
Yeah.
I would take Bell where Bush is going.
Right. Like, I almost rather would have Joik Bell round five.
You guys are really high on him.
Well, I know that that's where the touchdowns are more likely to go, and everybody's been talking about how it's going to be more of a split between those two.
Another overdrafted player is Vernon Davis. And he is going... Why do I have this weird thing over his ADP? It's very strange. So I'll just look it up.
Why do I have this weird thing? No,
what's
I'll tell you.
Deal?
I've got it right here. He's at 49.62.
50.
Sure, if you're into rounding.
I am. He's the fourth tight end off the board at 50. 12 picks ahead of Jason Witten.
It's another case of... people drafting a tight end they know who they've seen do big things. And I think is it possible that he gets 9 or 10 touchdowns this year?
Sure.
Absolutely. But it's also possible he gets 6 and then has 800 yards with it. That's kind of what we know him as. And this offense in San Francisco, they're going to pass a lot more than what we're used to seeing. And Crabtree's going to get a lot of catches. Stevie Johnson's going to get used. And it's all going to take some targets away from Vernon Davis in every area of the field.
Ben Tate, 60th. Dave has him as overdrafted. Terrence West, by the way, going 93rd. But Ben Tate to you is going too high, too early.
Yeah, I think he's around 6-7 guy.
And Jason Witten, 62nd.
Yeah, just a little bit. He's the safe guy in round 6. I guess that is round 6, 62.
Beginning.
All right. I guess that's fine. I take that one back.
Who you got? Overdrafted.
Chris Johnson at 57.
Too high? Yeah.
Late round five.
Yep. Don't want him there.
I don't think you want him.
I definitely don't want him there. I'd take him.
Would you take him in round 6?
No, I'd take him 7.
There's going to be someone that takes him by the end of round 6.
Oh, I know I'm not getting him.
I would, I think.
Would you?
Round 6?
Yeah, I think I'd take him in round 6. Depends on how my team's doing.
I don't know. I've gone so south on him over the past couple of months, and what the Jets say about their other running backs, and I think teams are going to end up defending the run against the Jets more often than the pass.
Well, here's the other part of it, is that their secondary is bad, and they're going to be trailing in some games significantly.
Which is going to be good for Chris Johnson's playing time. But
didn't they talk about giving him some catches?
Oh, they will, but I don't know if that'll factor in with Bilal Powell, too.
That's the best way to use him at this point. Did you hear him criticizing the Titans' game plans from last year, by the way?
No.
He started going off about how the Titans used him last year.
He really hasn't liked his offensive coordinators in like 3 years, and he said they got predictable. But the whole argument about being on a bad team with a bad defense, aren't there examples of running backs, DeMarco Murray, that...
Yeah, but that's young guys that are, you know, hitting their prime as opposed to somebody like him who's entering or exiting it.
All right. And plus, DeMarco Murray was remarkably efficient. Didn't have a lot of carries. There's no way Chris Johnson's doing what DeMarco Murray did. Anyone else?
Look, the last time the Jets went out and got somebody off the scrap heap, LaDainian Thompson was pretty good. Thomas Jones was pretty good. You know, these are two guys that they took at the tail ends of their careers. Curtis Martin, even.
Yeah.
That's just for the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but
yeah,
this regime.
I mean, yeah, Thomas, they took Thomas Jones and LaDainian, right? Rex was there.
Right.
The coach, yeah, not the GM.
I think Chris Johnson will be an okay flex. I just don't like, when I look at ADP, I look at the guys going around him, and I just don't like the guys that Chris Johnson's going ahead of.
Well, that's the thing. I would say I'd take him in round six, but in all likelihood, I'm not drafting a running back in that round.
Well, you just said it. The one guy that stands out to me is Joique Bell at 59 and Chris Johnson at 57. Why?
Yeah, that you're right. Joique Bell is being underdrafted. Any other overdrafted guys?
DeSean Jackson at 62. I mean, we kind of got into that with some of the guys that are going around him. Golden Tate. Again, I would take Terrence Williams ahead of DeSean Jackson. You can argue Edelman, you know, just based on role. And then Akiem Nicks also, 124. I know that's late, but look at some of the other guys going after him. Also a situation where I think you can get better value.
Okay, then.
Now what?
We're done?
Back on to
emails?
Sure.
Email from Kevin. Dear Venkman, Egon, and Ray, you guys should be hyping the draft kit for sale through CBS. We ordered it, and it's pretty awesome. Stickers and board are both legit. Dave, you want to... give us the marketing spin on that.
I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be, man.
Where's Kevin from, Dave?
Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Please make my day and choose three to keep from this five. Standard league, non-PPR. Le'Veon Bell in the seventh. A.J. Green in the fifth. Jordan Cameron in the 11th. Rashad Jennings in the 15th. And Michael Floyd in the 15th.
There's one.
Bell in the 7th, Green in the 5th, Cameron in the 11th, Jennings in the 15th.
How many do you get to keep?
Three.
Bell,
Floyd in the
Green,
first two.
Floyd.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm looking forward to the draft party. I'll be the one in the Priest Holmes jersey.
Oh, cool.
All right, that's Kevin.
That's actually cool. People could tell us what they're going to wear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a blind date.
Why don't we make it – that's weird. Why don't we make it like a deal where if you're coming to the draft party, whether it's in Pittsburgh or Boston, wear a jersey.
Let's make it a costume party.
Yeah.
Adam's coming as a cat.
How funny would our bosses feel if people showed up in costume? Like Comic-Con?
Yeah,
that
right.
Would be really funny. I think I'd rather wear a costume than a suit. Just saying.
You should go as Harry Man. Harry Boy.
Harry Boy? Oh, so I'm
Harry Boy?
Are you trying to say I'm Harry? Because that joke hasn't been used 16,000 times over the past 8 years. Caleb in Purdue Country. Excuse me. Hey there, Broderick, Bolton, and Keaton. Michaels?
Michael Broderick?
I feel like that's someone.
Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. Maybe that's who I'm thinking of. All right, here's the question. And it is PPR, 6 points per touchdown for quarterbacks. So it's PPR, 6 points for passing touchdown, 16-team auction draft. Do those scoring rules widely devalue running backs?
Not widely, but they do. Any PPR draft is going to devalue running backs.
Yeah, but it's not a ton.
Yeah.
From Cyrus. Hey there, Malcolm, Joe, and Eli.
Middle brothers.
Who's Joe?
Eli's a middle brother?
Yeah.
No, he's the youngest.
Oh, I think he's the youngest.
I was thinking Malcolm in the middle.
We got it. Broderick. What was the first one here? We can't let these
DJ
go unanswered.
DJ Milk on the turntables.
And Keaton.
That's all you. The beats you get out of me. That didn't work out too well.
Okay, well, I can't find it via Google search. Dave, can you go ahead and Bing that for us? See if we get different results.
What?
Malcolm, Joe, and Eli as the podcast has come to a screeching halt. Descendants of Malcolm Smith on genealogy.com.
Of course.
Oh, Super Bowl most valuable players. That's probably what it is. There you go.
Malcolm. Why were they throwing Malcolm in there? That's the best they can do?
Joe Montana. That's the Joe. Would you rather have LeSean McCoy, Julio Jones, and Andre Ellington? LeSean, Julio, and Ellington? Or LeSean, Monte Ball, and Keenan Allen? Standard scoring.
First one.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
So yep. The upgrade from Ball, from Ellington to Ball is not enough because of the downgrade from Julio Jones to Keenan Allen?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you should do more of this, by the way, because this is one of the more fun exercises you do when you give us this or that.
Would you rather have player A, player B, player C, or player A, player D, player E?
Pepperoni pizza or... Oh, no, you wouldn't eat a pepperoni pizza. Cheese pizza or a hamburger?
Cheese pizza.
Hamburger.
I'll think of more. Spencer in Tampa. Dear dude, bro, and fella, I'm in a league that awards 7 points for all touchdowns. I know that for leagues that award 6 points for passing touchdowns as opposed to 4, you push quarterbacks up the ranking slightly. However, for this extra boost for all touchdowns, do you use the same philosophy as you would for 6 points per passing touchdown?
Standard scoring league, standard scoring draft. When we say standard, I would apply that to that league. 7 points, 6 points, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, quarterbacks will be worth a little bit more, but what difference does that make?
Dear Joe, Steve, and Elvis. Oh, what are these, Chiefs quarterbacks?
I was going to say Chiefs quarterbacks.
Yeah. Who's the Steve?
Bono.
Yeah? Okay.
Or Bono.
Bono. Bono Petit. Looking at all the week 4 buys, I see a lot of good to great DSTs. Should I avoid these teams knowing I will have to carry 2 defenses, drop my good defense, or drop a high-ceiling player if I do? From Josh in Ohio. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look up the week 4 buys for everybody here.
You're eventually going to have to carry 2 defenses anyway if you have a really good defense, whether you stumble onto one off the waiver wire or if you draft one. It's up to you. It's not a big deal.
In week 4, the teams on bye are as follows.
Yeah. This is a big deal, by the
Denver, Arizona.
They'll be cut by then.
Cincinnati, St. Louis, Seattle, and Cleveland. Holy crap.
Possible that all 6 of them could be very good for fantasy. Not going to lie, Cleveland's made some good additions.
So you would say don't drop them on week 4.
Denver is probably going to be better in the back half of the season than the front because no Trevathan and possibly no Von Miller to open the season.
Yeah. Okay, here's a good one. We might finish on this one. Dear Larry, Daryl, and Daryl, listening... do you know what that is?
Yes.
What is it?
The Newhart Show.
It is. You're correct. Listening to your recent auction podcast...
I feel 100 years old.
I knew it too, but only because
I had
of the
no
podcast.
Clue whatsoever.
I noticed you use an antiquated
I'm
method...
I'm the oldest person in this room.
You use an antiquated method of bidding for players. An auctioneer! I've been in an auction league for 14 years, and we did away with the auctioneer over a decade ago. Instead... When a player is nominated, everyone raises their hand. We then go in a circle. Each owner on their turn has the option of bidding or passing. If they pass, they put their hand down and cannot jump into the bidding for that player again. This has 3 main advantages. 1, auctions take 50% less time. 2, there's no qualms about the auctioneer saying going once, going twice, faster or slower based on players they want. Dave Richard. And 3, each player gets time to think when it's their bid. This makes our auctions extremely competitive, as each bid is thought out and not placed in the heat of the moment.
It sounds like it's longer doing it that way. Am I crazy for thinking
that
way?
That's what I would have thought, too.
We are a bunch of old, lazy, fat guys. So raising our arms for how many players did they get picked? 150?
Yeah, probably.
That's the reason why we're not going to
do it? No, it's more than that.
Because we're tired of raising
rosters.
Our arms. We have 2
it's
arms.
180.
No, I get tired.
Well, okay.
Then
so
hold up a finger.
So... Marshawn Lynch gets brought up for nomination. We all raise our hand.
For like $1. And then what happens? The next person bids more?
I do the Brian Cox walking into Buffalo.
Yeah. It seems like it would take longer. There, really, when it came down to it for us, first of all, we only use an auctioneer for fun. Normally, we do them online with the CBS.
We used to actually recruit someone just to be the auctioneer.
Yeah, I wish we could go back to those days.
That would be fun.
To be honest.
But... I think usually it gets to the point where there's only 2 or 3 people bidding on a player anyway. It's so rare that there are more than that for a particular player.
Sure.
So, Evan,
I'm so mad that I took
suggestion.
Jordy Nelson from you.
I think it's an interesting alternative.
I'm so mad I took Jordy Nelson from you.
Was I mad at the time?
Yeah, you dropped an F-bomb.
That doesn't necessarily mean I'm mad. It just means I'm talking.
But you're always talking. Did you even stop talking during the auction? You were on the phone. You were talking at the desk.
He was on the phone. You were on the phone more than he was during the
auction. No, we had to wait for him.
No, you didn't have to wait for me. I missed
stuff. We didn't have to wait that long.
Yeah, because you set the stupid rules as whoever Adam sits next to is the first person
right,
to nominate.
We were waiting 3 minutes. You were on the phone out of the cafeteria.
I missed
the
one player.
No, you missed more than one.
You missed more.
You missed a lot.
Nick from Brick, New Jersey. That's not a real place. I just drafted in a 10-team PPR league, 6 points per passing touchdown, 6 points per touchdown for all positions. 10-team PPR. Two flex, though. So this is his team. He wants to know what you think. Matt Ryan, Matt Forte, Andre Ellington, Antonio Brown, Cordero Patterson, Kendall Wright, Michael Floyd, Dennis Pitta.
This is the worst team I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Gerhardt on his bench, Sanders on it. What are
Come
you kidding?
On, get out of here.
It's a 10-team league. Third graders? This is a great team. This is a winning team.
Okay, listen, you did a great job.
Even as Marcus Wheaton.
You did a great job. You don't have to email us to brag.
Nice work.
Great job.
I'm picking 12th in a 12-team, one-point PPR league. This is from...
Wait, was that league for money?
I hope so.
Can I buy into it?
No, because you're going to lose.
And share.
This team already... Oh, share a team. All right, this is from Elias. Love your bureau. I'm picking 12th in a 12-team PPR league. Would you recommend picking two elite receivers with my first two picks?
Sure.
Yes.
Which running back has to be there or tight end has to be there for you to change your mind? Graham?
LeSean McCoy.
Gio.
Okay, I'm talking Eddie Lacy, Gio, Bell.
Depends which receivers go because that would change things. Like we had this scenario with your team.
Yeah, we did yesterday.
Right. So.
Let's say you can get any of the top six receivers.
I take two.
Well, except for Calvin and Demaryius.
So the five, the bottom five.
Well, go
six.
Play out the scenario that happened to you where Lacy falls or Gio falls. Or
It was Monte Ball fell.
Yeah, but that's different, though, because you still got two receivers. I'm talking about if it's only one of the six.
Oh, then I go receiver, running back.
Right.
Right.
But if I can get two of the top six, not including Jordy.
He's not. That would be seven.
Right. So that's the cutoff, which would be like... We're talking.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Dez. We're talking Dez, Julio, AJ Green, Brandon Marshall. Two of those four.
You're taking Marshall and Green over Lacy.
Yep.
You.
Yep. You.
No.
You're taking one of the receivers in Lacy.
Yes.
Dave.
I'll take the receivers over Lacy.
Lacy gets overlooked. He had 35 catches.
He did. Might have more. He could also tear a hamstring and a knee and a toe.
It's less about Julio. Less about Lacy.
That's true. That's a good point.
I think it's less about Lacy and more about having two of the best wide receivers.
Knowing that there's going to be good running backs on the swing in 3 and 4.
But as long as you get one of those and you get a running back that you're very, very happy with, like you have to play out the scenario. What's the better scenario for you? Is it Lacy, Dez?
And then one of those running backs. Yeah, you have a good point.
And then Gerhardt and Patterson.
Or Crabtree even.
Right. Like I think that's better.
If you're drafting with idiots, you might be able to get Ellington. Probably not.
No, you're not getting Ellington.
If you're with idiots, you might.
Yes,
like pure unfiltered dumbasses.
Like Nick and Brick New Jersey's.
Yeah,
I have to go chat.
Drafting against
Sorry. Okay, we're done. Let me give you a couple more this guy or that guys. Would you rather have Jeremy Maclin or Golden Tate?
Tate.
Every day you just work hard. You've got to be the best teammate you can be out there.